Now, there is a major part of the discussion that we have to introduce now. And this is where, again, we're going to be very grateful that we built a foundation on the concept of Dinim Darabanan before approaching this sugya, because this sugya clearly draws very heavily on foundations in that concept, and where we're better served having done things in the order that we did. So let's consider one fundamental issue that we ended off with yesterday. When we talk about a concept with Rabbanan of Chinuch, that children should do mitzvos, the sentence is phrased in a careful way. Like, it's phrased in a way not to take a stance on a certain crucial issue. What am I talking about? Like, where did that sentence leave ambiguous? I'll say it again. Chiyuv d'rabbanan, that a child should do mitzvos. Yes. Who is the chiyuv on? Right? And this is separate from the question we talked about yesterday about whether the mother is a part of the chinuch package here, a topic which we'll have to return to. But even just narrowing down to the father and the child, who is the chiyuv on? That becomes a pretty important question, for reasons that are both practical and conceptual. And a lot of Rishonim take up this issue, with some of the Rishonim maintaining that the Chiyuv is really only on the father. Right? Who makes this position? Who makes this claim? Well, some prominent Rishonim, among them Rashi, in Maseches Brachos, says that straight out. Rashi and Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph says that, and the Ramban as well. And the Ramban is quoted by the Ran in Maseches Megillah, commenting on the Mishnah on Daf Yutes, where the issue is prompted in a way I'll explain in a second. The Rambam is a topic of some discussion also, because the Rambam in one place leads the Kesef Mishnah to say that he also holds the obligation is on the father. I say one place because if you had a chance to see, I think I put most of the Rambams on the Mar Makomos at various times. It's the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. And you could find the parallel language also in Hilchos Brachos, in Perikei Halacha Aleph, where you find the language of referring to Ketanim, Mechan Chemosom B'mitzvos, that we train them in mitzvos. And that leads the Kesef Mishnah to say, oh, it's not that the katan is obligated to do mitzvos. Rather, it's that the father has the chiyuv to make the child do mitzvos. So if that's the understanding of the Rambam, you have that that's Rashi's position, you have that it's the Ramban's position, as we'll explain in a second, and maybe you have that it's the Rambam's position. The problem is, and we'll discuss this in greater length, we'll come back to this, but the Rambam in a few other places doesn't sound like that. So to reconcile all the Rambams is a little bit of a challenge, but if we were to zero in on a few Rambams, the language seems to support such a reading. So there is a basic conceptual reason to say that the father is the one with the chiyuv as opposed to the child. And that emanates directly from our whole discussion of Dinim D'Rabbanan. What is the reason to say that? Yes? Tammy? Yeah. Sorry? Did you not raise your hand? Oh, sorry. Okay, well, there's a pretty basic reason why one might feel compelled to say that the chiyuv is on the father. Somebody help me out here. Why would you say that I almost have to say the chiyuv is on the father, not on the child? Yes? Oh, right. Why? We spent a lot of time trying to figure out why do we have an obligation to follow Dinim D'Rabbanan. So if one says, like the Rambam, that the obligation emanates from Lo Sosur, so then why don't we say that we have a problem here? Because Lo Sosur is one of the mitzvot of the Torah. So if children are potter from the mitzvah Satorah, what is going to obligate them in following dinim d'rabbanan? So we could say, we'll take time in a second, we could say that the father has an obligation. He is subject to los asa. But children are not subject to los asa. And therefore, what is going to be mechayev them? And this, if you saw the Tosfos in Bava Kamma, right, this is also an issue in regards to Summa. That according to Tosfos' position, that a Summa is chayev midrabanan. Why should we say that that works? If a Summa would indeed be pater from all mitzvos, like Rabbi Yehuda, again, that's theoretical because not how we possibly, but if that were the case, so then how is he chayev in mitzvos d'rabbanan? It's one thing to say, let's say, an isha could be pater from a mitzvah min haTorah, bar chayev midrabbanan, because there, she's chayevus in the Torah as a whole. So she's included in los asur. Now, ironically, there it doesn't come up, as Tosfos says, because when we talk about mitzvah saseh shazman grama, mimena pturos, so there, we don't have them be obligated even midrabbanan. And Tosfos addresses this issue, that when it comes to a summa, if you're going to say you're pater from mitzvahs completely, so then that's going to create a problem of not being recognizably Jewish. So then we have to come in midrabbanan. But for an isha, we don't have that issue because she's chayavis in all the other mitzvos. So the fact that she's exempt from a handful of mitzvos doesn't create a need for a din d'rabbanan. But it would have worked better because the isha, we can see how she's chayav in things d'rabbanan. But the child or the summa, how are they going to be chayav in dinim d'rabbanan if there is no applicability of los asur to them? That's the central conceptual issue. Or one of them. There could be more. Hi.
If you want to go down the route of los asur for this, though, then doesn't that limit you specifically to dinim d'rabbanan rather than dinim d'oraisa?
No, because you could say that dinim d'oraisa, the chayav on a level of d'rabbanan, which is what we say. Right? So you could say that their chayiv,
the obligation to do the mitzvahs,
is, would be d'rabbanan, even though the mitzvahs themselves, let's say lulav, right? Lulav is on the first day. Let's say lulav is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but the obligation for the katan is d'rabbanan. That's okay. But the question is, how can the katan have a chayiv d'rabbanan? So one reason to come to this conclusion is because you're forced to, because you don't see how a child could have an obligation d'rabbanan. That's one reason to say it. Another reason to say it could be not necessarily that you're forced to, but maybe it simply makes more sense. What is chinuch? What does the word chinuch mean? Chinuch means education. Presumably it means something that someone more knowledgeable does to someone less knowledgeable. Now, not exclusively. There's a lot more to it. But we could hear a reason just to formulate the mitzvah that way, even if we didn't have to. So that's something to keep in mind. We could say the mitzvah is on the father and not on the child. And we could say that for at least two reasons. Either because we don't have a mechanism to be mechayev the child, or because whether or not we do, it simply makes more sense as far as the mitzvah is concerned that the obligation is on the parent rather than on the child. So let's just take note of where this comes up in the Rishonim. So one major place is the discussion in Maseches Megillah. That there, the Mishnah and Daf Yates tells us that a cheresh and a shot and a katan is potter from reading Megillah. But then Mishnah goes on to say that Rabbi Yehuda machshir the katan. So you have a machlokas in the Mishnah, machlokas Tanayim. Is a child obligated in reading Megillah or not? And what seems to be really more the focus, if a child were to read, an older child were to read the Megillah, would someone else be able, would an adult be able to listen to that Kriyas the Megillah and dispense their obligation that way? So Tosfos raises the question, what are we arguing about? Meaning, what specifically are we arguing about? If you're talking about, we know we can always divide up Tanim into two groups at least. A cotton in Shigia Lechimach and a cotton in Shalo Igia Lechimach. So you could have a child who's too young to know what's going on and a child who's old enough to know what's going on. So if you're talking about a cotton Shalo Igia Lechimach, so why would Rabbi Yehuda say that's okay? There's no concept there of Megillah at all. And if you're talking about a cotton Shehigia Lechimach, so why are the Chachamim not so cool with it? Right, why don't we just all agree that too young isn't good according to anyone? And if chinuch is a possibility, then that should do it. Now, what's the premise of saying that chinuch automatically should make it work? Right, because still we know that there is a principle in terms of being motzi others in mitzvos that you have to have a comparable chiyuv. So we know that when we talk about a katan, the chiyuv is drabanan. So why would I think that a chiyuv drabanan can fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of an adult? So here, the answer is because we're talking about Megillah, right? Megillah, which is itself midrabanan. So let's say we're all on the same page. And this, by the way, if you saw the sugya in Brachos on Daf Memches, it gets there, and also on Daf Chaf, it comes up also, that it gets a little complicated there. We try to figure out whether we're talking about a chiyuv in benching Daraisa, chiyuv in benching Darabanan. If a person has eaten enough to be satisfied, he's chayiv in benching Daraisa. If he's only had a kezias, he's chayiv Darabanan. So we'll come back to that. But when it comes to Megillah, so Megillah seems to be Darabanan. So, Tosus's question is, so then, if we're talking about a katan shehigia lechinuch, so let's say that everyone should agree, the Chachamim should also agree with the Yehuda, that the katan should be motzi. So what are we talking about? Are we talking about katan who's too young and no one should think it works, or a katan who is a chinuch age and everyone should agree it works? Adam, you got a question?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's clear that the katan is chayv in derabanan, and we read the gilam inside derabanan, but it's derabanan on different grounds.
Ah,
so I was
okay.
Just wondering, like, we can still draw an equivalence between the two.
So that's the problem. So Tosfos says ultimately that maybe you can't. Now it's interesting to explore what Tosfos's premise is. It's a fascinating concept, which is worth giving some attention to. We're only going to just mention it now. Maybe think about it for a minute. But Tosfos says that the reason a katan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is good, but according to Chachamim, it's not good, because Chachamim are concerned about an interesting concern, what they call trade the Rabbanan. Meaning, and I don't know if this is what you're getting at, that the adult is chayev mid Rabbanan. For the child, you have a mitzvah the Rabbanan of Mikra Megillah, which itself we're only approaching from a drabanan mitzvah of chinuch. So two drabanans versus one drabanan, still not going to work. Now, I think it's worth exploring what exactly that means, because it could mean a couple things. It could mean that simply in order to be motzi somebody, you always just have to be on their level or above, and it's simply we're two steps removed here. But Tosfos is probably getting at something a little more conceptual, right? That, and maybe this is what you're getting at, that the nature of the Drabanan is different, and that the whole approach to this mitzvah Drabanan of Megillah, just because the adults are chayiv Drabanan in their mitzvah, so that doesn't mean that the katan is really sharing the same obligation, that he's still coming at it in a fundamentally different way. And that's something to think about. So is Tosfos making a straight mathematical point that we just have two drabbanans is different than one drabbanan? You're not, you don't say that way? Or should we say that, no, that there's a reason why it doesn't work? It's not simply math, but that the drabbanan on top of a drabbanan puts it into a whole different category. Daniel?
That'd be really, how do you understand the mitzvah in the first place? Is it just that any obligation you have, you have a mitzvah derabanan to make sure that your child does a mitzvah, or anytime you have a mitzvah, which case in this case it's derabanan, then you have another mitzvah. So now it really is a derabanan, derabanan. Maybe it could be one derabanan.
Yeah, I think it very much affects the whole question of understanding what's going on. So is this simply an extension of the mitzvah? Or is this something which creates a whole different kind of chiyuv on top of it? And so this concept of trade rabbanans itself is not something to ignore, something to register, and we have to see, especially combining the trade rabbanans, our sugya rabbanan and the chinuch rabbanan, and seeing how the combination of those two rabbanans gives us some insight into that. That's something to think about. But in any event, the Ran over there addressing the same issue, the Ran quotes the Ramban and says that no, we can address this question differently and say that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol in a mitzvah, even if that mitzvah is drabanan, because a katan is not mechuyev at all. Right? The katan doesn't have any obligation in the mitzvah. And therefore, he's not a bar chiyuva. So, you're telling me that the katan is chayev in mitzvah drabanan, that's what we've been talking about this week? No, it's not true. A katan is not chayiv in anything. The adult, as the parent, is chayiv in the mitzvah midrabanan. And here, let's say, presumably for the first reason, because the katan can't be chayiv in anything. It doesn't have a platform from which to become obligated in mitzvah midrabanan. So therefore, it's not parallel at all. There's not a bar chiyuva. The person who's going to be motzi somebody else has to be a bar chiyuva. And the katan is not, and that's the issue. So here the Ramban himself is quoted by the Ran. This Ramban appears also in other places. You can find it in Maseches Brachos, hopefully, if you know, can find it, in the commentary on the Rif. But the Ran doesn't like it. And the Ran says, ultimately, if you're going to work off that premise, so then the whole notion of saying afen hayu ba'oso hanes, that the miracle comes to include the katan as well, so that is itself going to be a problem. What kind of mechanism is afen hayu ba'oso hanes? Right, presumably, what that is a mechayiv midrabanan. So if they're not subject to being obligated in the level of the rabbanan, so then how are we ever going to have afen hayu boso anes coming to include them? So therefore, ultimately, the Ran doesn't think the Ramban is really the approach here. Sorry. Excuse me. So, yes, sir.
Does that come from the Lotusser point that
seems like that's essentially what you're saying, that if we're saying that you can't be chayiv in the first place, so then how is Afen Hayu Boso Neis going to change anything? Now, parenthetically, maybe more than parenthetically, I wonder, Lulei Demistafina, I'd say that it's hard to just dump to this when the Rishonim don't really say this. But one could have said, when we talk about Afen Hayu Boso Hanes, it's a whole sugya to explore in of itself. But many Rishonim assume that Afen Hayu Boso Hanes only applies to dinim that are themselves drabanan, like Megillah, Ner Chanukah, and the like. So once you say that, so you could say that Chazal essentially made the mitzvah along those lines. Becomes a big discussion. Brisker Rav has a comment about this in his commentary to Maseches Erechin, that when you say Afen Hayu Boso Hanes, are you saying that really women, for example, where it usually comes up, women are pater because of mitzvah sasesha as man grama, and then Chazal came and created a new chiyuv, which may be a lower level chiyuv, because of Afen Hayu Boso Hanes? Or are we saying that no, that it means the original chiyuv never excluded them? And which is easier to say once we're talking about dinim that are themselves drabanan. that even though maybe there could have been a mitzvah saseh shazman grama component here, but nonetheless, Chazal did not apply that because afen hayibo so anes, therefore they retain the original chiyuv. So I wonder, this may be a bridge too far, but I wonder to say that maybe Chazal, because of afen hayibo so anes, they made the mitzvah applicable to ketanim also, and that ketanim don't have to be actually mechuyev. It means that whatever gather one needs to fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, anybody who's a part of the process works. So therefore, even though a katan can't be himself considered mechuyev, but his status of afhein is enough to make that Megillah reading a kosher Megillah reading. That's more speculative and really lepopula balma, but I wonder if there's a little bit of reason to perhaps expand. Now, this is something we'll see. We started the topic this past Sunday of Neres Chanukah and the question of mitzvah sabayis. So there, as we'll get to see when we continue it, whenever we get a chance to continue it, that there is a strong possibility that a katan shegiya lechinuch can light Ner Chanukah on behalf of the household. So the question is, why should that be if he's not chayav a mitzvah, really? So some explain that maybe the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is really on the household, it's not on individuals. And therefore, katan shegiya lechinuch, since that candle is itself a part of the mitzvah rubric, so it's not like he's being motzi anybody through his chiyuv, it's that he is creating a mitzvah candle, and that mitzvah candle is enough for the household. So that's usually suggested to draw a distinction between Megillah and Chanukah, that Megillah is a chovas hayachid, and it's not going to work for a katan to read on behalf of a gadol, but maybe Chanukah yes. Still, I wonder, again, more l'popula b'alma, is there a possibility to say that also Mikra Megillah works that way, that there is a more of a communal kind of concept to it, and that even one who's not technically mechuyev b'davar, nonetheless, can create a mitzvah reading, and maybe that's going to be enough. But, in any event, so this is a major issue with major ramifications for how the mitzvah of a katan plays out. But it leaves us with a question that if one takes the view of the Rishonim that ketanim are obligated in mitzvahs, d'rabbanan, so how does that taka work? Now, how does it work if they're not subject to los aser? How could there be such a concept? And we want to take a stab in it before we run out of time. How could it be that a katan is obligated in mitzvos if he's not shayach to los aser? How can he be obligated in lulav d'rabbanan or in sukkah d'rabbanan or in kiddush d'rabbanan? Any thoughts? Well, we'll just
include in los aser.
What, including los aser, that katanim also?
Los aser is subjective. So what the
rabbi
say, that's what happens.
But what's the, you know, this, if you think about it, so this traces back to our whole issue that we had with Nesivis and Rav Yosef Engel, right? And Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. So remember that the central issue that we were trying to figure out there is, do we assume that Chazal's power only addresses those who are subject to los aser, or could it somehow extend beyond? Right, so should we say, for example, that if Chazal say don't blow shofar on Shabbos, that the mitzvah is gone? Right, we said that depends on that issue because only Jewish adults are subject to los aser. So the Torah tells you to blow shofar; the mitzvah is still there. Just the rabbis can tell you as a person to ignore it. Or should we say somehow that they have authority even over the mitzvah to redefine the mitzvah? And we talked about that whole discussion about the Suri Chefetz, the Suri Gavra. So that was also the issue, right? Do we say, like the Nesivus and his camp, that the rabbis only have authority to address people? So a Isser Drabanan can't be called an Isser Chefetz because the object doesn't change. Or do we say, like Rav Yosef Engel, that it's broader than that, and that their statements have an impact even beyond those who are subject to Los Asim? So it seems like we have the same question coming up here. Right, should we say there's no way to be Mechayiv a Katan because they're not subject to Los Asim? Or is there some way to define the impact of Chazal as going beyond this? And if so, how? I guess we'll have to pick up with that next time. So give that some thought. I got willing to give you some more covers to look at, and we will try to cover that. But for tomorrow, we have to look at Shvi of Vayetze. All right. See you then.